As announced, the scripture reading this evening comes from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. I'll be reading from the American Standard Version. So that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another.
We started this morning setting forth our plan for growth. As we have been indicating, it's very important that a local congregation has a plan. And congregations that do not have a plan usually do not sustain any kind of growth. And so, as we have said, I think we suggested last week, a congregation that fails to plan is planning to fail. And so we have set forth a plan, and we looked at just the first part of it this morning. And the first step of our plan is simply to win souls to Christ. That is the major part of our plan to grow. We want to be an evangelistic congregation. And so we emphasize some things with regard to that. We looked, if you weren't here this morning, at several passages of Scripture that emphasize the fact that this has always been God's plan. He has had in his mind from the very beginning that his people go out and teach others the gospel of Christ. And so how do we want to execute that? How do we want to go about soul winning? We looked at three things this morning. We want to get more people to visit our services. And again, we emphasized even how we want to go about doing that. We talked about the trifold cards that we have. They're now on the communication table. And they're very simple to fold up, and they end up looking like a small business card. And we want every member of the Brown Street Church to carry a few of them on their person. And whenever you get involved in a conversation with somebody about spiritual things, or whenever somebody indicates some kind of religious interest in God, interest in the Bible, interest in spiritual things, you need to give them a card. And you give them that card and recommend something about the Brown Street Church to them. And in that way, if we can get most of our membership to participate in that endeavor, if we can get 150, 160, 170 people always carrying their cards, we actually would like to have 200 people doing that. But if we can get the majority of our membership to carry those cards and pass them out whenever they have the opportunity, that will increase our flow of visitors. And so we emphasize that. And then number two, we emphasize the going into the community and knocking on doors, getting into the neighborhood. That's what we want to do. That's a part of being evangelistically minded. It's a part of fulfilling the Great Commission. Jesus said, go, and so we want to go. And we have some cards. They're sort of like postcards. I don't believe I have them with me now. I guess I do. They look, I don't have them on the computer as I did this morning, but they look something like this. These are not in the back, but whenever we start to go out into the community, we'll have these out. And they're just simple, good, high-quality cards that list where we are located. They have a map so people can find us, a phone number, our times of services. But they also offer some things that we are offering people free of charge. And so we'll simply go up to the door, very simply, knock on the door. When they come, we'll say something to the effect, my name is Don Wright. This is my wife, Janice. We're members of the Brown Street Church of Christ, and we like to offer you some things free of charge. You show them on the card what we're offering. You invite them to service and go to the next door. Very, very simple. Not intimidating for them. It's not very scary for us. You don't have to worry about asking a whole lot of questions or answering a whole lot of questions. And generally speaking, the people at the door aren't going to ask you a variety of questions. The person at the door is not going to ask you, well, can you explain to me Ezekiel 3:15? No, they're not going to do that. Very rare that something like that happens. And so they may engage you a little bit. If somebody wants to further the conversation, of course, you do that. But generally speaking, it's very quick. You're at the door for 30 seconds to a minute, and you're on to the next door. Very, very simple. And so we want to get as many of us involved in that process. Now, we talked about, and we'll get back into this in just a moment, but we talked about personal work groups. And that's how we're going to facilitate that going into the community. We have 6 groups. A few corrections from this morning. We're going to divide the congregation into 6 groups. They're going to be divided not in alphabetical order, but they're going to be divided up, and we're leaving that up to the elders to do that, and we trust their wisdom in that. So, but you'll be in a group is the point. And so your group will go out now once every month and a half because we have 6 groups. And so that's all that we're asking, that you get out in the community for 1 hour every 6 weeks or so. And that's how we're going to get involved in the spreading of the gospel and getting people to come and visit our services. We'll have more to say about that. B, we want to move them once we get a people flowing to our services. We get more people coming to our services. We want to move them from that stage into a home Bible study. Now, make no mistake about it. It's in the home Bible study where souls are saved. It's very critical. There's all kinds of different methods that we can use. We're setting forth these things, but certainly there are other plans and other things we can do, and maybe we'll enlarge the things that we do as time goes on. Some people put articles in a newspaper. Maybe sometime we'll do that. There are other things that we can do, but one thing is for certain. It's all with the aim of getting people in a home Bible study. Very rarely, as I said this morning, do people come to a service like this, hear one sermon, and come forward to be baptized. It doesn't happen like that very often. Perhaps years ago, it happened like that. Years ago, things were different, and churches were baptizing many people. Sometimes churches would baptize 100 people in 1 year. Things have changed, and we recognize that. It doesn't happen quite like that, but we can still get the job done if we are consistent enough in our efforts. So we want to get people in a home Bible study. Once they come and visit with us, then we want to get them into a home Bible study. Now, we suggested a couple things very quickly along those lines. First of all, we need the membership to step up and to be hospitable. Again, I'll say more about that in a minute. But when we have visitors to come, then we want to invite them either home for lunch, or we want to invite them out to lunch. We can take them out. You can take them into your home. Whatever you want to do. But that's just a sign of friendliness. Can you imagine, as I said this morning, if a visitor comes and that visitor is approached by 2 or 3 people, 2 or 3 families who invite them out to lunch or invite them to come home for lunch? That will be very impressive to the visitor. Maybe the visitor will say no. Maybe the visitor has already made plans. But just the inviting will be impressive. And if they agree to go out to lunch, that's even better. Now you have more time to influence them and to be kind to them, and they're more likely to come back. Now, that's what we want. We want, after someone comes and visits with us 2 or 3 times, then we want to invite them to a home Bible study. If someone comes to our services 2 or 3 times, you know by that 3rd visit, they have an interest in us. And so once they come, when we and come on a few occasions, then we invite them to the Bible study. But in order to make that happen, we have to be very friendly the first time they come. If someone comes into our service and nobody approaches them and nobody greets them and we're not friendly to them, they're probably not going to come back. So we need to make sure our whole goal is to get them into a home Bible study. So we want to be friendly to them. And those are a few suggestions of how we can do that. And then when we start baptizing people, we want to keep our converts. We need to study with new babes in Christ for at least a year after they have obeyed the gospel. They need strong attention. And so we want to set up Bible studies with them, and we had some things to say about that. We want to pay close attention to every babe in Christ. It's very critical. Now, all of this is the soul winning step. Let's be a soul winning congregation. We know it's God that adds the increase. We know it's God who should get all of the glory in all that we strive to do. But He uses earthen vessels to get the job done, and that's you. He uses His people to reach Satan's people to strive to convert them. And so that's the first step of the plan. Now, we have two more steps, and these final two steps won't take us quite as long to develop, but we want to look at developing relationships within the congregation. This is very critical for a growing church. I said last week that I have read many books and articles and various things that have to do with church growth. There are all kinds of church growth experts out there. And all of them, they say many different things, but all of them emphasize that if we're going to grow, we have to get everybody involved. But a second thing that almost any book or article or anything said by a church growth expert, almost all of them will agree that something else we must do is develop a closeness within a congregation. You just observe congregations that are growing and thriving, burgeoning congregations that are heading in the right direction. Almost all of them, if not all of them, have a great connection within the congregation. In other words, there's a lot of love within those churches. They're a close-knit family. And so that's critical. And we have to go about then making sure that our relationships are what they ought to be here at Brown Street. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25, Paul said that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Paul in Ephesians 4 said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." There's so many passages that speak of this relationship that we have. Consider this passage. It's very interesting. It says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye have no need that I write to you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it towards all the brethren which are in all Macedonia." Now that's sort of interesting. I think of the Brown Street Church, and I think we are a loving congregation. And I believe that I have observed since I've been here, close relationships within. But our relationship can always improve. There's one thing we can never have enough of is love one towards another. And the proof of that is right here. Here's a passage of Scripture where Paul commends the brethren in Thessalonica. They were full of love. He commends them. In fact, he says, "I really don't need to teach you anything about this. You're taught of God to love one another. And in fact, you do it," he says. But you notice how it closes? He says, "But we beseech you, brethren, brethren who are already loving one another and loving all of the brethren all over Macedonia, we beseech you that you increase more and more." We can never be too close as a local congregation. And so we need to establish these relationships. The Hebrew writer simply said, "Let brotherly love continue." And that really comes to us in the form of a commandment. You let brotherly love continue. And that's not agape love, the most high love. That's phileo love, the brotherly love. And that kind of love is something that doesn't happen by accident. It happens because we spend time together, because we purposely develop relationships one with another. So how do we accomplish this? We make a commitment to know every member. And that's important. And one other thing, listen, we don't want to make any excuses for anything. I see congregations all the time that have no evangelistic plan whatsoever, and they can always come up with an excuse why. And sometimes when we have a large congregation like this, we just sort of take it for granted. You know, there's no way that I can know every member. Yes, you can. Don't make any excuses. Make up in your mind, you're going to get to know every member of the Brown Street Church of Christ. We should all have a good relationship one with another. And so how do we actually do that? We, first of all, have to be hospitable. We've been talking about the business of being hospitable. It's very important. It's crucial to any plan to grow. And the fact of the matter is, whether you realize it or not, it is crucial to the salvation of the soul. I think there's a whole lot of topics that we sometimes just sort of put aside or put in the back of our mind, and we forget how important they are. Let me just quickly give you a sermon outline on hospitality. First of all, it is commanded. God commands us to be hospitable. Hebrews chapter 13 and at verse 2 talks about that. The entertaining of strangers. And that's basically what being hospitable is. But that's not the only definition of hospitality. It's not just entertaining strangers. That might be the primary definition of it. And that might be what is meant most of the time when hospitality comes up. But hospitality also involves opening up our homes to each other. The proof of that is in this second passage. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 4 and notice these simple words from the inspired pen of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4 and at verse 9, Peter says, "Be hospitable to one another without complaint." That's not talking about entertaining strangers, is it? That's talking about how we treat each other. How in a local congregation we develop a relationship. Be hospitable, he says, to one another and do it without complaining about it. You should want to do it. That's how we develop phileo love. That's how we develop brotherly love. And it's commanded. But several other things. It's a part of living the sanctified life. It is a determining factor at judgment. Be sure to read Matthew chapter 25 about that. It is a qualification of an elder. A widow must be hospitable in order to be taken into a number. The point of it is, the Bible has a lot to say about hospitality. And so we need to be hospitable. We cannot have the kind of relationships that God wants us to have just by coming to a worship service like this. I'm afraid that too many times this is the only time we see each other. And that's not enough. We're here. We meet together about 4 hours a week, don't we? And in fact, in those 4 hours, we don't spend a whole lot of time interacting with each other. We do from the standpoint of worship. We're worshiping and communing with each other from that standpoint. But from the standpoint of talking to each other and getting to know one another better, that happens a few minutes between services and after the service. That's not enough. We need to spend more time together. And in order to do that, people have to open up their homes. We need to plan more congregational get-togethers. Getting together as a congregation, associating with one another, is a wonderful practice. So far as I know, and I don't have all the details about that, just a few weeks ago we got together. I think the Fouses get that together mostly had that. It's a wonderful practice. And I have never seen a situation where the members of a local congregation get together, whether it's at a park like we did a few weeks ago or whatever it is. I have never once seen that happen and people walk away and say, "You know what? I just had a terrible time." I've never seen that. It's always people saying, "You know, we need to do that more often. We need to get together more often." Why? Because it's fun. It's enjoyable. It's edifying to spend time with those of like precious faith. That's how we develop a relationship. I appreciate that we got together the other day. It seemed like it was indicated that maybe twice a year you do that very thing. And that's good. You know, a lot of congregations do, and that was a great facility where we were at Goodyear Park, I believe it was. But a lot of congregations will do that very thing during gospel meeting, when they have a gospel meeting. I hold many gospel meetings, as you know, and often it's the case on Sunday, they'll have a potluck. We could do that at Brown Street, couldn't we? And right away, we have three gospel meetings, basically, two gospel meetings and a summer series we do. And at least with the two, the fall and the spring meeting, We could do that, and right away we double the time that we get together. But that's critical. Finding time to get together. We won't do it now, but you read Acts chapter 2 and see what those brethren did in the first century. They were together daily. And I've often said those brethren were just like you and just like me. They had jobs. They had families. They had husband and wives and children. They had lives that they lived. Still, they found the time to get together with other Christians on a regular basis. It is no coincidence that the Bible tells us at that time the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. There's a connection between a congregation being full of love, having good relationship, and a congregation growing. And so we need to make sure that we develop relationships within. And then the third step of our plan of growth is to keep ourselves focused on the plan. Now again, this is very critical. I'll tell you right now what I know, and so do you. That most of the time when congregations begin to do something, like set forth a plan, it starts off and right away people are just on fire about it and excited about it. And I appreciate very much a lot of the excitement that I was hearing after our service this morning. I know for a fact that you want to plan. I know for a fact that you want to become more evangelistically minded. I can sense that and hear that. But we don't want that to last a month. And we don't want that to last a year. We want that to be who we are as a local congregation. We want to be working this plan, not just for a little while, but on an ongoing situation. Remember, the word go means to take a journey. A lifelong journey. We want to be implementing this plan not only right now, but 10 years from now. And that's the only way that we're going to make it work. And it's the only way we're going to sustain growth. But we have to keep focused because we have a tendency to drift. And I see it all the time with local congregations. They start a good work, and after a while, it just sort of fades away. And we have to make sure we don't allow that to happen. Too many times we succumb to that. We just give up because we think that's inevitable. We'll have, for example, when we first go out into the community, maybe we'll have a big crowd. People come out in the personal work groups and they participate in that. And then you can almost just rest assured that this will happen. It will begin to decline a little bit. At that point, ladies and gentlemen, we can't say, well, I knew this was going to happen. We have to determine in our minds we're not going to let that happen. That we're going to continue to encourage. We're going to continue to try to keep the entire membership focused on what we're planning to do. And to continue to work the plan that we set forth. We have to keep our focus. Now, how do we go about doing that? Well, let's look at some passages very quickly first. These passages just talk about the importance of unity and like-mindedness. We're all familiar with this. Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now, I recognize that this passage usually brings to mind some kind of hostility. That a house or that a kingdom where there's infighting, then there's going to be problems, and certainly that's going to be bad. But sometimes there is division within a congregation, not from the standpoint of hostility. There's just a disconnect between members because we're not focused. We forget the plan. We're not on the same page. Congregations consistently have members who aren't on the same page. They lose focus. And we don't want that. Paul said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. Consider what Paul said later in Philippians 2 at verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Romans 15 verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the common theme in all of these passages? And there are many others that we could put up there. It's like-mindedness. Be perfectly joined together. That's what we want to be at the Brown Street Church of Christ. We have a plan. We don't want it to be the elder's plan or Don Wright's plan. It's our plan. We want to execute it together. We want to be focused as a congregation on our plan to grow. Be on the same page. Speaking the same thing. Being like-minded. That's what we need if we're going to be successful in the carrying out of this plan. How do we do it? We do it by establishing the personal work groups that we mentioned this morning. Again, we're going to have six of these work groups. Now, these personal work groups are valuable, so valuable in a lot of different ways. They're going to help us in a lot of different ways. First of all, as I said a few moments ago, they're going to facilitate our efforts to get into the community. Each personal work group will go out at an assigned time, once every 6 weeks. And it's very important that we have participation in that. Again, that's not too much to ask. But you won't have to go out several times. You'll have to go out once every 6 weeks. But the end result will be that the Brown Street Church will be in the community every single week. And the personal work groups help us with that. But there's more to it than simply that. They will encourage everyone to participate in the plan. The personal work groups, and I meant to put a calendar up here just to give you an example of this. But let's say you're in group one. You'll meet the first Sunday of the month after evening services. And you'll have a leader. If I have it right, the leaders of the six groups will be the elders, myself, and Gerald Paul. And those leaders are responsible for reminding the people in their group of exactly what we're trying to accomplish. To participate and to be involved. So every time you meet, you'll be encouraged, you'll be reminded, you'll be told to focus on the plan. And now you'll meet, let's say again, group one will meet the first Sunday. The following Saturday is when you'll go out in the community. The second Sunday, then, the next group will meet. And the following Saturday, they'll be in the community. And it just works like that on an ongoing basis. And so the personal work groups can help very much in encouraging everybody in the personal work groups. They'll be reminded to carry the cards. So this is a very important part of the plan. Remember, we want every member to have a card. Every time you meet in your personal work group meeting, you'll be reminded. You'll be asked, are you carrying your cards? Does everybody have a card? Are you taking advantage of that? Are you giving them to people that you meet with a religious interest? But you'll constantly be reminded of that. That's the value of these personal work groups. But there's even more than that. We'll be encouraged in these various groups to call or send a card to each missing member. That's what the personal work groups do. Every single time a person misses, and we don't know why they're missing, that person will receive a call from somebody. So nobody in the local church falls through the cracks. That's a very valuable part of the personal work group. Now, if we know why someone is gone, we know that Fred and Roberta are traveling today. They gave us that information. It's in the bulletin. We wouldn't send them a card or call them, obviously. But whenever somebody misses, and we don't know why, they'll be contacted. There'll be no such thing under an arrangement like this with personal work groups. There'll be no such thing of someone missing three or four or five services without hearing from anyone. People will be called. Because, again, we don't want anyone to fall through the cracks. And in the personal work groups then, your leader will just pass out assignments. Who's going to call brother so-and-so? Sister so-and-so wasn't here. We don't know why. Does anybody know where she was? No. So, ask somebody in the group, will you send a card? Will you call so-and-so? And so you'll be involved in the work of the congregation and playing a real role in helping us to remain strong spiritually And in the overall plan, if we execute it and we do it consistently, we'll grow numerically. We'll be the kind of congregation that God wants us to be. That is not to suggest at all that we're not already that. I believe Brown Street has been a sound congregation for many, many years. But we want it to continue and even to improve. We've not reached the mountaintop. We're not perfect. We can do better. We should want to do better to God's glorification. And this plan will help us with regard to that. So there's the plan. The plan for growth, soul winning, developing a relationship within the congregation, better relationships, and keeping each member focused on the plan. I am absolutely confident that if we'll work this plan consistently, again, not for a month, not for a year, but from here on out, that God will bless us for the effort itself. But we'll reach people. We'll baptize people. We'll be a growing, thriving congregation. It will be exciting. It will be fun. And we'll be saving the souls of men, and we'll be saving our own souls and glorifying God. I encourage each and every member of Brown Street, be involved in the plan. Let's work it together. And again, help the borders of the body of Christ to increase. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel, you have an opportunity tonight to put on Christ in the waters of baptism. I know that man says baptism isn't important, but you only have one Savior. His name is Jesus. And Jesus, in Mark chapter 16, at verse 16, said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, who are you going to believe? Some preacher or pastor that says, no, all you have to have is faith? Or are you going to believe the Savior who says you must believe and be baptized? I hope you'll accept the words of Jesus. They're straightforward, easily understood. If you're outside of the body of Christ, outside of the ark of safety, change that even tonight. Believe in Jesus. He's the one with the words of eternal life. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.